discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor Oti Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
I think that if I'm given the opportunity to choose, in fact, I didn't choose. God just had mercy on me and gave me a father. Hallelujah. But I think I would like to do it again and again and again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. Because my life has been better. You know, you can't, if you are close to that, one of the things you realize is that he's full of love. Do you see? I've never had an opportunity to hear him say, let's tell him this, but we mean this. I get what I'm saying. The honesty is wild. You know, he has exposed us to a world of the word of God, a world of love, a world of spirituality. You see, and we find ourselves sitting here because of the anointing upon his life. Hallelujah. You know, so it's really a great honor, you see, to have our father here. And this is the first time he's having a meeting with the church. Since we came here, he came to launch this place. So this is a maiden meeting with our father. Hallelujah. So I want you to know, hallelujah, that this meeting is a reference point for all of us. Yeah. His words has changed our lives. Honestly, the words from his mouth, the words from his lips have brought prosperity to us, has brought love into our hearts. You know, wisdom is working. Can you imagine? We built this place ourselves because of the leading he gave us. You see? Yeah, so I want you to know that today is a very special day for us. Myself, I've been anticipating this meeting for a very long time. And it is finally here. Hallelujah. I want you to know that Daddy is going to share things with us that will change our lives. You see, since I got to know him, I've never been sick in my life. Do you know why? Because he's taught me about healing. Since I got to know him, I've prospered. He's taught me about prosperity. Since I got to know him, I've learned how to preach. Hallelujah. And to start build a church. So, our father is a coat of many colors, you see. And I want you to know that your life will never be the same again. There's a scripture I want to show you, right, before Daddy comes. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Please sit down. Let me just, you know. Daddy, we are so happy to have you. We love you so much. I want you to really prepare your heart for what Daddy is coming to share with us. You see, yeah, God has put some words in his mouth that he has been sharing with us over the years. I remember the very first scripture he quoted for me to appreciate is this very scripture. And that's why I'm quoting it to you. So this has been a very foundation from the beginning. Hallelujah. The TPT version will marvel you. Hallelujah. Let's read TPT. It says that, and so now I entrust you into God's hands and the message of his grace. This is what our father has been teaching us over the years. Can you imagine? Then he says that, which is all that you need to become strong. So he has not taught us any other thing but this message, right from the beginning. And then he says that all of God's blessings are impacted through the message of his grace, which he provides as a spiritual inheritance given to all of his holy ones. Hallelujah. So this is what he has given to us. You see? And so finding him, I've not had the need to look elsewhere for any other thing, because he's giving us this message, which is more than enough for our lives to be where it is. Hallelujah. Daddy has taught us how to fight. How to fight. If you come and face me, you'll be shocked at how I'll fight you. But he has taught us how to fight. He has taught us everything. So I want to use this opportunity to say thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And from the bottom of our hearts, we say we love you so much. We love you so much. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you're excited, but I'm excited to introduce my father and your father. Hallelujah. The Bishop of Love Economy Church. Please be shouting and dancing. Let's welcome our father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Can you do it better for Jesus? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one by whose blood we stand here today. The one who gave himself a ransom for all. Can you give Jesus a very big shout? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think we have one of the best pastors here. I thought you'd be more excited than you are. Yeah. Pastor Eugene is the pastoral aspect of the grace of God that I have. Yes. Yeah. He's a true pastor. Out of all of us, he's the one who wanted to be a father. We didn't know what to do with our lives, but then he knew from the start that he would be in the ministry. And today he's here. He's a Pastor Sherry has just changed his life. Hallelujah. It's exciting. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for pastoring this church, for making it work. Let's say it's been 2 years. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your friendship. He's my friend who is my son as well. Hallelujah. We've been friends for many years. And it's a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I also acknowledge the parents of Osofo ACN and his beautiful wife. I think I know your wife. Yes, but it's been long. Yes, it's good to see you. Pastor Charles, it's good to see you. I saw Pastor Charles' church yesterday. Very beautiful place. Yes, it's good to see all of you. Pastor Pius, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming. Thank you all for. I can see Pastor Bright here. I can see Pastor Sammy. I can see Pastor Archie. I can see Pastor. Everybody. Doc, Amma, Vivian, everybody. Thank you. What a blessing. All protocol observed. All protocol observed. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this blessing that we have in you. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for what he has accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the great work of redemption. Thank you for your blessings untold upon us. Thank you that tonight you unveil your word to us in a very special way. Bring us clarity. Yes, we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us understand who Jesus is and more. Bring us closer, Lord, into our understanding of who you are and what you have done. Lord, let this mark the beginning of a new phase in our lives. Bring salvation, bring healing, bring strength, bring joy. Bring peace in a very special way to our hearts as we hear your word. We receive your word with meekness, with gladness, with great joy, knowing that it is our means of development and growth, even in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Can you give Jesus a big shout once again? Hallelujah. You may kindly take your seats in heavenly places where you belong. How many of you love Jesus? Say, I love Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is everything. Hello. Jesus is everything. Yes. And we should always say thank you to him all the time. You know, all the time we should say thank you to him. If you read in Romans chapter 3, verse, you know, we all know Romans 3:23, isn't it? What does Romans 3:23 say? I think it's one of the verses that we learn after John 3:16. And then we destroy John 3:16. Yes. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then verse 24 lets you know what has happened. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely. Let's read TPT should do. Let's see what TPT will say. Let's read from verse 23 to 24, TPT, so it makes more sense. For we have all sinned and are in need of the glory of God. Next verse. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us. Have you seen it? His gift of what? Love and favor now cascades over us. All because Jesus, the anointed one, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. What a blessing. That's what Jesus did. What Jesus did, no human being can do. No human being can do. It's not possible what Jesus did. Jesus is the one who offered himself for us as a ransom. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, For this is acceptable to God, who wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Can we read King James, please? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. I have a million verses for you today. So if you are interested, are you interested? It says, God will have all men to be saved and come, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Then in verse 5, he says that, for there is one God. There's what? Every Christian needs to understand this verse. If you understand this verse, you step out to win souls. If you understand this verse, this Friday you will be part of the soul winning outreach that we are going to be doing. For there's one God. There are no two gods. One. There's one God. And there's one mediator between God and men. Then he mentions the person's name. There's one God and there's only one mediator. Let's read other versions. Let's read NLT. For there's only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. Let's read other versions. Only one. Oh. There are no multiple. There's only one. Only one. Only one. For God is one. This is TBT, right? For God is one, and there's one mediator between God and the sons of men, the true man, Jesus, the anointed one. Let's read other versions. I want to see if someone will use a different word apart from mediator. Do you understand mediator? It's a word. Even though I'm saying it, you don't really understand it. So let's see if there's another verse. This one too says mediator. Show us. Is English? Is English? You need to be very wild so that you don't just read, because you can be passing a very important verse. You can just gloss over a very important verse. Do you see? So you need other versions to know what it's actually saying. There's only one God, and there's one person who brings God and people together. Only one person reconciles. Only one person brings the two together, because there was enmity between God and man. Okay? There was what? Enmity between God and man. There was a problem between God and man. Man's sin took man away from God. Man was created as God's object of love. But because of man's sin, man was taken away from God. And Jesus is the one who comes and bring the two together. That's what he came to do. You said we should read BBE, right? Let's read BBE. For there's one God and one peacemaker. Oh, yes. One peacemaker between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Only one peacemaker. Yeah. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. It's very nice. These are very lovely verses. Let's read BB. I don't want to confuse you. So either BB, NLT, you know, those things. Let's read from verse 11 so it makes more sense. Okay? Go to verse 11. For this reason, keep it in mind that in the past, the Gentiles in the flesh, in the past, you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are looked on as being outside the circumcision by those who have circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. He's talking about the Jews, okay? Next verse. Then he says, that you are at that time without Christ, being cut off from any part in Israel's rights as God's nation, having no part in God's agreement, having no hope, and without God in the world. And the Gentiles had no God in the world. All their gods were nothing. Hopeless. They were not, it was not going to take them anywhere. Next verse. Then he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who at one time were far off are made near. How? In the blood of Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ, by his blood, he has brought us close. He has brought us to God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who at one time were far off are made near in the blood of Christ. Look at the next verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made the two into one, and by whom the middle wall of division has been broken down. Which middle wall of division was that? The law kept us away from God. The circumcision kept us away from God. Jesus came to handle all of that by his blood. By his blood, he has brought us close. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us all as a ransom. He's a ransom price. He is the price that was paid. His life, his blood was what was paid for you and I to come. That's why we can sing. That's why the choir can sing on the stage and worship God. You couldn't have done that. Who are you to, where can you find God? How will you locate God? Do you know the direction to God? Do you know the address of God? Do you know the Google Maps of God? The GPS? You can't. You can't find. That's why we can pray for things to happen. Yes. I tell you. Yeah, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Yes. Jesus gave himself as an offering for all, witness of which was to be given at the right time. This is 1 Timothy 2, verse 6. Verse 5 is, there's only one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself, verse 6 now, who gave himself an offering for all. He gave himself an offering for all. So you want to know the grace of God? You see, this is grace encounter. In a service like this, I mean, we just have to talk about Jesus Christ, nothing else. There's nothing else to preach. There's nothing else to talk about. Paul said, I have nothing else to talk about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. He says, when I came amongst you, I didn't come with big words. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let's read another version. I think Message, right? Let's read Message version. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is. Then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified. Have you seen it? Let's read TPT. For while I was with you, I was determined to be consumed with one topic. One topic. What's the one topic? Jesus, the crucified Messiah. Can you imagine that you can be born again and not know Jesus? We have churches filled with people who don't know Jesus. Plenty. I was in church for many years and I didn't know who Jesus was. Meanwhile, I'd accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And I had no idea of what redemption was. I had no idea. I'd heard about his blood. But I didn't know, what is this blood all about? What is it for? I didn't know. You will never know until you are taught. It's very important you are taught. Listen, you can jump over a verse and not know that your life is in that verse. You will not know. Your salvation is in that verse. Your blessing is in that verse. Your marriage is in that verse. Your children are in that verse. But you just jump over it. You need a teacher. You need someone to come into your life who will teach you the word. And it's not just anybody. I'm talking about someone sent from God. That's why you are sitting here. God has sent, if you can hear us, it is God who has opened your ears to hear us. Oh. Do you know? It's the Lord who has opened your ears to be able to hear these things. Because it is not given to everyone. It's not everyone who has the opportunity to really understand what is being said. Yeah. The Ethiopian Enoch was reading the book of Isaiah. He had no clue of what he was reading. The Holy Spirit sent and organized Philip to go and meet him. When Philip saw him reading the portion, that portion of the Bible, he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? This is Acts chapter 8, verse 29. How can I, except some man should guide me? The Ethiopian Enoch showed us how it works. It cannot happen unless a man sent from God. Go down, you see it. Yeah. And yet he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. If you don't desire us to come to sit with you, if you don't allow us to come into your life and teach you the word of God, that's why church attendance is very important.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why listening to a message is very important. That's why reading a book is so important. You need to invite the preacher into your life. You need to invite the pastor into your life to teach you, or else you never know. You never know. You get to heaven and you are surprised at the inheritance that God had reserved for you here on earth to enjoy before you come and meet him. You'll be surprised because you never gave attention to it. God wants you to give attention to his word. It's very important. Your life is in it. Okay? Your prosperity is in it. Do I look like a poor man? I don't look like a poor man. Because I am not poor. By the grace of God. But I'll give you some of my money. I'm teaching you how. I'm teaching you how. How is better. How. Yes. How is better. It's not a small thing to be a beggar. You see, being a beggar is a very terrible thing. It's very difficult. It's hard work. To be a beggar, the humiliation, the way some people will look at you and talk about you. You may not know, but they are talking about you. One young man kept asking for money, and I would give it to him. He kept asking. They were all there. I showed them the message. He kept asking, I would give. Kept asking, I would give. Then one day, I told him, stop asking. You are doing the wrong thing. You should rather sit with me and ask me, how do you do it? How? Rather than asking all the time. You don't do that. No. You are destroying your life. I thought you were a king. Kings don't beg. No, kings don't beg. Yeah. We don't beg for you. You don't beg the banks. You don't beg anybody. You don't beg the government. You don't beg anybody. Not when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is sitting inside you with all of his resources. Why are you begging? You don't need to beg. What you need is to have access to God's word. You need to learn God's word for yourself. You need to put the word of God inside you so that you know what to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sit down for 2 minutes. That's what you need. That's what you need. You need to desire. It says, and he desired, he asked for Philip to come in. Come and sit with me. And can you imagine from the same verse where he was reading? Look at the next verse. That's the truth. If you don't take a message, if you don't take a book, if you don't attend a service, what you're saying is that you don't need understanding. That's what you're saying. I don't need understanding. I know all things. Yeah, that's what you're saying. When you see a meeting like this has been organized, thank God for the one who organized it. Yeah. Well, it's like the person is thinking about you. Yes. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be helped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. Verse 33. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the Enoch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Is the prophet speaking about himself or speaking of another person? Up to date, Isaiah is like, you read Isaiah 1, is he speaking about himself or is he speaking about somebody else? All the time. You need a teacher. Look at this, the next verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. The same scripture. The same scripture that the guy couldn't understand. At the same scripture and preached unto him. He preached what? Jesus. One topic. He preached unto him, Jesus Christ. And the guy got saved. The scriptures he was reading had to do with his salvation. But he would have never experienced salvation if he had not been taught. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's how it works. God sends someone to preach to you so that you can hear, so that you can believe, so that you can receive. That's how it works. If you don't believe, if you don't receive the man, you'll be surprised that you will not have what you are supposed to have. So preachers are very important. Preachers are very, very important. Teachers are very, very important. Okay? Very, very important. And you shouldn't play with the opportunity you have to hear. It's not, your blessing is not in your closeness to the preacher. Your blessing is not what? In your closeness to the preacher. You can have his phone number. You can take a picture with him. You can eat with him. You can sleep on the same bed with him. You can wear the same shoe as he does. You can travel with him. But all that, you can iron his clothes, but all that will make no sense, it will make nothing, it will make no meaning if you don't have the opportunity to receive words from him. It is his words are the most important thing. What he's saying to you, what he's sharing with you is the most important thing. It's not in how close you are physically to the person. Are you in the church? Yes. So important. So important. So one topic, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that one topic is equal to the grace of God. The grace of God, what is the grace of God? I want to ask some questions and answer them for you. But the first question is, what is the grace of God? I've been answering it since I came. The grace of God is Jesus Christ and him crucified, or Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. You want to know the grace of God? The grace of God is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Okay? Grace is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. If you read in John chapter 1, verse 14, John 1, 14, King James. And the Word was made flesh. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He says there was a day that the Word of God came into flesh, became a human being. There was no Jesus in heaven before he came into becoming a human being. There was the Word of God. The Word of God existed, pre-existed humanity, pre-existed creation. But the Word of God had not been given flesh. There was a day the Word of God was given flesh. Or put on flesh. He says, and the Word became, the Word made is become. The Word existed before, but there was a day the Word of God became flesh. He put on flesh. And when the Word of God put on flesh, he was called Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. There was a day that God came to dwell with man. Do you see? That day, angels from everywhere came to come and look. Because the angels had never seen God's face. So when the little boy was born, they all came to come and see the baby's face because this was the first time they were seeing God's face. They came to come and see God. Oh, yes. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then he says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The glory of God, the glory is how he looked or how the expression of his personality. Okay, your glory is the expression of your personality. Who you are shows us, okay, your glory is dependent on who you are, what you are inside. How nice you look, how well you speak, how well you walk and behave and conduct yourself. It's actually all forms your glory. The weight, the presence with the presence you command, your money, your wealth, your health, all those things communicates, that's your glory. Now, when God came on earth, when the Word of God was tabernacled in flesh, and they saw him and they experienced him, what they experienced was grace. It says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of something called grace and truth. So glory is grace revealed. And grace is glory hidden. When glory is hidden, it's called grace. And when grace is revealed, it is called glory. Please, you understand? Uh-huh. Grace is like the person's character, who the person is, what the person is. Then every action of the person is glory. Do you get it? Uh-huh. Maybe what you contain is anger. Or lying or cheating or whatever. When you express yourself, we see lying, we see cheating, we see all kinds of things. That's what happens to some people. There are others who contain love. You see love, you see goodness, you see niceness. Whenever they act, you see goodness, you see kindness out of their lives. That's their glory. When the kindness is shown forth, it becomes glory. When they saw Jesus, okay, When Jesus expressed himself, when he started moving and talking, they realized that they were experiencing grace. Because Jesus was filled with something called grace. Grace, Jesus is grace personified. Jesus is the grace of God personified. That's who Jesus is. So he says, full of grace and truth. Now go to verse 16. Verse 16. And of his fullness, of this Jesus' fullness, when he expresses himself, what do you see? He says, we have received grace, heaped upon grace, grace for grace. Grace come. Let's read other versions, maybe to help us. Do you have TPT? From his abundance. Okay, this word, TPT. And now out of his fullness, we are fulfilled. And from him received grace, heaped upon more grace. Out of his fullness. Out of his fullness. I'm trying to get another word for fullness. Out of his abundance. Okay? Like when he wakes up in the morning and says, good morning. What you receive? When he says, good morning, grace is what you receive. You see, when he walks around, grace is, when you see him walking, grace is what you receive. You receive benefits from God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God, the blessings of God, the favor of God, the riches of God, the healing of God. That's who Jesus was. Of his fullness have we all received. This is what NLT says, from his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Out of his abundance, we receive gracious blessings. Amplified. The amplified is nice. For out of his fullness, out of his abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we're all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. That's who Jesus is. That's why there's no one he healed that deserved it. There was not a single person Jesus healed who deserved, like he did something. He had honored God. He had qualified. He had sown a seed. So God healed. There was nothing like that. Not even a single person. All of them were not correct. But he healed them anyway. Why? Because that's his nature. Of his fullness, when he shows up, what you receive is grace. What you receive is the goodness of God. What is grace? Grace is the goodness of God. Grace is the blessings of God. Grace is the mercy of God. Grace is the favor of God. Grace is the prosperity of God. Grace is God healing you and helping you that you don't deserve. You don't need to deserve anything. Freely. It's called without cost. Without cost. Yeah? Let me show you that verse. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 3. Let's read verse, we read 23, remember? Then we read 24. Now let's read 25. Okay? Go to 24. Let's read 24. It's actually 24. It says, being justified freely or being declared righteous freely. How? By his grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word freely there, okay, is doria. Have you heard of Dorian? There are people who are called Dorian. It means freely, without cost. God justified us or made us righteous without us. There was no cause. There was no reason. It's no reason. You don't deserve it. It's nothing. But he makes you righteous anyway. Yes. It's called the grace of God. Grace is man at rest and God at work. Grace is man. Sit down and think about yourself. God is now working. So when you see the grace of God working in a ministry, you see that it's effortless. It's not... We are not struggling all over the place. It's just working. You see the grace of God working in someone's life? Effortless. Effortless. You put in one, you get 1 million. That's the grace of God. Free. Without cost. He blesses us without cost. So every step that Jesus took was a step of blessings. What did Peter do to deserve to become his disciple? Peter was so conscious of his sin. You know, Jesus met Peter three times. Three different occasions. The first time Jesus met Peter was when his brother Andrew brought him to him. That same day, Jesus changed his name and said that you'll be called Peter. You're a rock. Peter said, hey, this is my first time meeting you. I'm meeting you now. You are changing my name. I'll see you later. He went back. He didn't follow Jesus. The second time Jesus met him was in his house. Jesus came to his house. That was when he healed his mother-in-law. And Jesus had a crusade at his house. Many people got healed. That's in Luke chapter 4. Many people got healed. Still, he didn't mind. Then he went fishing in Luke chapter 5. That was the third time Jesus met him. And when Jesus met him, he told him, let me use your boat for fishing, for the word, to preach. So Jesus gave him the boat. He gave Jesus the boat. Jesus preached. After Jesus had preached, he asked him, have you caught anything? He said, oh, we've not caught anything. Jesus said, push the whatever. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. This is Luke chapter 5, verse 3. Now, verse 4, he says, now when you are left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Go to verse 5 now. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Then he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, he had been exposed to him, so he knew him. He knew what type of person he was. Just a chapter before this, you see his encounter with him in his own house. Andrew was his brother, so Jesus knew the place. They brought him to Peter's house. He did a crusade. The whole town gathered at Peter's house, and he healed many. Can you show us that one? Luke chapter 4. The dying embers of Luke chapter 4, if you can help us. I have so many things to share with you. You have no idea. I've not done even 1 out of 10 of what I'm supposed to preach to you. So don't sleep. Okay? Those who are sleeping, they know. They are laughing, so they know. Can you show me? Luke chapter 4. I thought you'd help me. Pastors. Verse 38. 38. Luke 4, 38. So it's a continuum. It's a continuum. So let's just look for verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. Have you seen it? Next verse. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And he left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Next verse. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. Yeah. In the same house. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. No condition. He didn't ask them, what did you do for this sin to come on you? Did you bring a seed? Have you fasted enough? There was no condition. He healed all of them. That's the grace. The grace of God heals without condition. So tonight, receive your healing without any condition. I don't care where you got it from. Whether you slept with someone and got it, or you got it in your bed. Whichever one it is, makes no difference. The power of God for healing does not depend on what you did or did not do. Jesus does not ask questions at all. One day the disciples were asking him, who sinned? Is it the man, his father, or his mother? Who sinned? Jesus said, please don't talk about. I don't like those things. Don't talk about who sinned. I'm not interested in history, investigating things. No, I'm not interested. What I'm interested in doing is that I must bring the glory of God on the scene. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can. That's the grace of God. The grace of God brings the glory of God on the scene in your matter without asking questions. Without asking questions. What a blessing. Have I told you the topic, what I'm preaching about? I've not told you. Oh, I'm preaching on the goal of grace. The goal of grace. Yes, the goal of grace. I just realized I've not told you. The goal. What is the goal of grace? I'm coming there. Now, I'm sharing with you on what is grace? Grace is a person. Okay? His name is Jesus Christ. So, Peter had an encounter with Jesus. I don't know if you've seen it. He says, all of them came and they were all healed. Do you see? Next verse. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he became them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Goes on and on. Next verse. I think the next verse is chapter. Okay. So then we go to chapter 5, and then we see him at the seashore preaching, taking Peter's boat, right? Then he tells him, let your nets down for a catch. Peter does what Jesus says to do, and he catches plenty of fishes. You know what he did? When he saw the plenty of fishes, he knelt there and said, depart from me. Depart from me. Can you show us that verse? He said, depart from me. Because I am a sinner. I'm a bad guy. You're a very bad guy. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord. He called him Lord because he knew he was. And what had happened could not have happened if the person was not God. I mean, this is not normal, because they knew. They knew about the fishing. They knew. Jesus' voice had commanded fishes to come from everywhere to fill the nets. And they knew it. So he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Maybe today you think that you can't do the work of the Lord. You can't come close because of your sins. Because of something that you have done. Because of something that you did. Some abortion that you did. You know, there are two problems of young people. If you're a young people's pastor, you should know the two problems that young people have. Number one is poverty. Young people don't have money. You take offering, there's nothing. And what it means is that you have to help them financially. But most of your offerings will end up going back to young people for various things. I need help with the area. I need help with this. I need help with those stuff. I need help with this. I need. That's it. Then the second thing is sex. Sexual problems. All the time. Every day. This person has done this. This person has done. This person has done that. This person has done that. Yesterday, I was being told about a guy who is crying. He says, he's tired. I'm tired of having sex with all these guys. I'm tired. I was crying. I'm tired. Pastor, I'm tired. Listen, maybe you are conscious of your sins and your errors. So you can't serve God. You don't think that God likes you. You are like Peter here. Jesus told him, he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Oh Lord. Jesus didn't even address his sins. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse now. Verse 9. For he was astonished at all that were with him. And all that were with him at the drought of the fishes which they had taken. Verse 10. And so was also James. Blah, blah, blah. Next verse. Okay, no, go back. We just missed it. Go back, please. Verse 9. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Verse 10, please. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He didn't talk about, I know what you did, I know, I see whatever. No, he says, fear not, from henceforth you will catch men. That's what grace does. Grace takes care of sin and empowers you to do what God wants you to do, to be a blessing. Yes? That's what grace does. That's what grace does. So Jesus was grace personified. He healed without condition. He helped people without any condition. He brought Lazarus from the dead without a condition. I mean, all these, no conditions attached. That's Jesus. You see, that's Jesus. And ultimately, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for us. So grace is Jesus. First of all, that's why you need to read his life. The more you read his life, the more you learn about grace. The more you learn what grace is. Okay, because it is him as a person. Then it is also his work on the cross. His work on the cross. Yeah. So what did Jesus do for us as he hung on the cross? Let me show it to you in Psalm 103. Psalm 103 from verse 1. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Grace is God's benefits from God. What does benefits from God do for us? The first thing it does. Next verse. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? That's the first thing that the grace of God accomplished for us on the cross. He forgave us all our iniquities. You want to know what grace is? Grace is Jesus and his work. On the cross, what did he do? He took care of sin. I ain't a judge. So you don't need to go to hell, because Jesus has been to hell for you. That's why if you should die today, you are going straight to heaven. Why? Because what prevented you from getting to heaven has been dealt with by someone called Jesus Christ. That is what he did when he was hanging on the cross. Okay? Romans chapter 4, verse 25. So I'm talking about who forgiveth all thy iniquities now. All, not some. All. Say all.
All.
Grace, what has grace done for us? Grace has forgiven us of all our iniquities. All, not some. All. He has forgiven us of all our iniquities, all our sins, all our errors, all our issues has been taken care of. So sin is not a problem anymore. Sin is not a problem because sin has been removed. If you die today and you owed someone, can the person take the money from you? Why? Because you are dead. It's finished. Or someone, if someone was owing and the person died, can you take the money from him? You can't take the money. Why? Because the person is gone. So Jesus ensured that we were dead, we became dead to sin. So that sin cannot have an effect on us anymore. So as you are here, sin cannot have an effect on you. Yeah, that's the truth. Let me explain it to you so I can make that statement again, okay? He says, Jesus was delivered on our offenses, on account of our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. Let's read other versions. Jesus was delivered. What killed Jesus was our sin. Our sin is what put Jesus on the cross. He was handed over to die because of our sins. This is NLT. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. So our sins, he hung on the cross because of our sins. He didn't hang on the cross because he had done something wrong. It was because of you and I, our sins. But grace pays for sin. For people who do not deserve to be paid, for sin to be paid for. Grace clears the guilty of their sin, of their error, when they don't deserve it. That's what grace does. So as Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was a payment for our sin. He was handed over to die because of our sins. What did he do to us? You see, the Bible says that he was made sin who knew no sin. He was made sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin. And as he was hanging on the cross, our sins were inside him. He took our sin and removed, by his death, he removed our sin. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 24. Oh, it's so nice. He says, Jesus, his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Have you seen it? Jesus, his own self, not someone else, he himself, grace, bear our sins in his own body on the tree. The word tree is cross. Show me other versions. NLT. He personally, this is so nice. Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. Personally. So that we can be dead to sin. That's why he gave himself. So that we can be dead to sin and live to righteousness. So as you're sitting here, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, you're actually dead to sin. That's what has happened. That's why you think you are alive to sin. That's why you keep fooling around. So when sin knocks at your door, you respond. Even though you are dead. How can a dead man be responding to someone who is owing him? It doesn't make any sense. But we respond because we don't know that we are actually dead. And we don't need to respond. We don't need to respond. We can't respond again. I'm coming there. Okay? He personally is called the just for the unjust. First Peter, we are in First Peter. Go to 3, verse 18 now. First Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I hope you are writing the verses down. Study them, it will help you. He says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. Eh? Christ suffered for our sins how many times? Once for all time. So Jesus is not coming to suffer for your sins anymore. He suffered for your sins once for all time. He dealt with the issue of sin once for all time. It was enough. He says he never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but was raised to life in the spirit. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. Once for all time. Once for all time. Some people don't believe it. He suffered once for all time for the purpose of taking your sins away. Are you in the church? Hebrews chapter 9. I hope it is helping you. Yes. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's read from verse 11. He says, so Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. Next verse. With his own blood, he entered with his own blood. You want to know your value? Your value is as much as Jesus' blood. You want to know the value of a thing? Check what was paid for that thing. You buy a shirt, you check the tag to see how much it is before you buy. If they say it's 500 Ghana cedis, that's the price. You exchange 500 cedis for the shirt. So it means that the shirt is worth 500 Ghana cedis. What was exchanged for you and I is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of God himself was used to exchange for you. That's how important, that's how precious you are. He says that he entered with his own blood, not the blood of goats and cows. He entered the most holy place once for all time. He's not going to go there again. He has done it on the cross. once for all time, and secured our redemption for how many times?
Forever.
That's what he did. He secured our redemption or our purchase or our, the word redemption is forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Look at Colossians 1:12. Always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people with who live in the light. Verse 13. Then he says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Next verse. Who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins? He purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. The King James says it well. Look at King James, verse 14. It says, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. His blood is what was used to buy the redemption. Then it says, even the forgiveness of sins. What is redemption? Redemption is even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is equal to the forgiveness of sins. Are you in the church? Redemption is equal to the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus paid with his blood. He paid with his blood. Mind you, it was not the devil they were paying. It was God who was owed. It was not, the devil has nothing to do with this. God paid God. So that you can be friends with God and you can be a child of God. Yes. God paid God so that you can come close. The price of redemption was not paid to the devil. Always remember that. It's not a sin against the devil. It's a sin against God. For all have sinned against God and have fallen short of the glory of God. It's not against Satan. Are you in the church? So the redemption story has nothing to do with Satan. Satan lost his employment through what Jesus did. Are you in the church? Okay. So Jesus entered into the heavenly holy of holies to secure our redemption, our forgiveness. So as you are sitting here, you are forgiven. Are you a child of God? You are forgiven. That's even the old you. All that I'm talking about is the old you. This is what was done to the old creation before the new creation was born. But the new creation is not the one who has been forgiven, because the new creation doesn't even have a past. All things have become new. Oh, yes. We don't even have a past. This is to show you what, so that you can be grateful to God for what has happened. But that's actually not you. The one who was redeemed was killed for a new one to come. Mm-hmm. We've not started talking about those things yet. He entered in with his own blood, not the blood of ghosts. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12. He entered the most holy place once for how many time? All time. And secured our redemption. Now jump to verse 22. Hebrews 9 verse 22. It says, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness. Have you seen it? Next verse. That is why the tabernacle and everything in it, which were copies of things in heaven, had to be purified by the blood of animals. Okay, this is something big, but maybe not today. But the real things in heaven had to be purified with far better sacrifices than the blood of animals. Verse 23, verse 24. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. For what purpose? Next verse. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. Next verse. In fact, if that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to what? To remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. So Jesus' death on the cross was for the purpose of removing your sin. Hallelujah. Removing. He didn't leave some. He removed everything. That's the first benefit of grace. That's the first thing grace does. Grace removes sin. Grace removes all iniquities. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? That's the first thing grace does. He forgiveth all, not some. All. Hello? Turn to your neighbor and say, all your sins have been removed by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, he says that, look at Revelation 5, 1:5. He says that Jesus loves us so much, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Who can do that for you? Nobody, only Jesus. Yes. And from Jesus Christ, he's the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. Have you seen it? Yes. That's King James says he washed us from our sins. Yes. Look at King James. He says, unto him that loved us. Are you seeing it? Unto him that what? Loved us. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. He uses blood to wash us from our sins. So you are not a sinner. See, I'm not a sinner. Why? Because grace has removed your sin. You want to know grace? Grace is equal to removal of your sin. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. What does he do for our benefit? He removes sin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. No one can love me like Jesus. My father will not wash my sins away from with his blood. Neither will my mother. They are all crying about their sins. Let's read from verse 11. It's nice. Go up. It says, and every priest standing daily ministry and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They always do, but they couldn't take away sins. They only covered sins for 1 year. Then it says, but this man, there was a man that came, he's called Jesus, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, for how many times? Forever. Take notice of the words, forever. Sat down on the right hand of God. He offered himself as a sacrifice forever. And sat down. Because he's done. He's not going to offer for sin anymore. Next verse, verse 13. From henceforth, expecting to his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14. For by one offering, what was the offering? Himself. By offering himself, by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has perfected forever. So you are standing before the Lord, perfect. As you are sitting here, there's no problem with you. When God looks at you, there's no problem. The only one who sees problem is you. Because you don't know what God has done. The only one who sees problem is the devil. Because he knows you don't know what you have been made. So he keeps accusing you to you. The devil accuses you to you. You see, before Jesus died, he had a place in the heavens. Job talks about it. How he was accusing man. He accused Job. In the heavens, the sons of God met and he showed up. Because Adam had given him his place. Adam had given him the place of man. So he showed up to accuse man. And he did it until Jesus came. That is why the heavenlies needed to be purified with the blood of Jesus too. We just read it. And I said some other time, but let me just say it. He contaminated the heavens. Yes. That place that he stood to accuse man was contaminated. So Jesus took his blood and washed that place too. So now the devil does not have that place in heaven to accuse you to God. He can only accuse you to you here on earth when you don't know who you are. When you don't know what has happened. If you don't know that Jesus has paid. Why do you need to pay? Sometimes you tell you, this thing that you did, that's why all these wrong things are happening around you. How can you pay for yours? You cannot pay for your sins. If you could have paid, you should have died for your own sin. God knew you couldn't pay. That's why he came to come and pay for you. So what are you looking for again? Just accept his payment and agree with the fact that it's been paid. When the devil is trying to accuse you, you tell him, brother, it's been paid. Mr. Devil, it's been paid. You cannot accuse me. Jesus paid once and for all. And guess what? When Jesus died on the cross, all your sins were in the future. Did you hear what I said? All your sins. Where were you when Jesus died? You were not born. Where were your sins that you are now feeling guilty of right now? Where were they? Were they not in the future? They were in the future. And that's what Jesus died for. Jesus died for all your sins, including the ones that you are yet to do. Did you hear what I just said? Don't listen. Finish, listen to all that I'm going to say. There's a goal of grace. Why did God do that? Why has God done that? Why has God paid for all your sins? Oh, not some. Why? Why has he paid for the ones you are yet to do? To what end? There's a reason. That's what you should hear. And that's why I'm doing this meeting. So hold on. Let's keep going. Okay? Sit down for 2 minutes. But the truth is what I've just spoken to you. The truth is what he's paid for all. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We stand before him blameless, without sin, before him in love. Blameless, holy. No problem. When God sees you, he sees you as Christ. He sees you in the place of Jesus, because that's where God has put you. Next verse. Let's keep going. He says, of this, whereof the Holy Ghost is also is a witness to us. The Holy Spirit has a ministry of witnessing to us. What has he witnessed to us about? For that after he had said, next verse, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. This is your new position now. God has given you, he says he has put his laws in your heart. And then in their minds will I write them. He's written his laws in our minds. The word mind is imagination, dianoia. So the new covenant is actually God documenting his law, his word, in our hearts and in our imagination. Yes. Yes. Next verse. Then it says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So God does not remember any sin or iniquity that you have done or you will do. That's the new covenant. The new covenant is God does not remember. He cannot see your sin. He cannot remember your sin. It doesn't relate with it. Why? Because Jesus has paid for it. Are you born again? If you are born again, then you are in the place where God does not see your iniquities and does not see your sin. Next verse. Now, where remission of these is, the word remission is forgiveness. Where forgiveness of these sins is, there is no more offering for sin. God is not going to offer again for sin. Why? Because Jesus already paid. That's a blessing of grace. I thought this is Grace Encounter. Are you not happy about what I'm saying? Or you are not excited? The first thing the grace of God does is to remove your sins. It's to remove. Jesus is called the Son, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Look at 1 John 3, 10. No, 4:10. Sorry. 1 John 4:10, not 3. 1 John 4:10. Even the child is enjoying this, the message. Can you read it to me? One, two, go. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You don't understand propitiation. Do you have NLT? NLT. Show us NLT. Let's read it together. One, two, go. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take and leave some, to take away our sins. That's the first blessing of grace. The first blessing of grace is the removal of sin, because that is what was preventing man from getting close to God. And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. The goal of grace is to bring you to the Spirit, intimacy with the Spirit. God wants you to have so much intimacy with him to the point that he doesn't want your sin to become a problem for him. For you between, like the two of you, like there's a problem. You did something wrong, so there's a problem. So he's paid for everything, including what you are going to do. So that no matter what comes your way, you can still fellowship with him. So that he can have you in intimacy all the time. God is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He says, I, the Lord, I am jealous. I'm jealous. Do you understand a jealous? Have you seen a jealous man before? A jealous man does not want his wife to look anywhere. I know a jealous man who keeps his wife at home. Because he doesn't want any man to enjoy his wife's beauty. Yes. God is beyond that. God is beyond that. God's jealousy is beyond that man. God wants you locked up with him. Mouth to mouth, eye to eye, nose to nose. Constantly like that. And he knew sin was going to be a problem. So what does he do? He pays for all the sin. So that no matter what happens, we are still close. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Let's continue. Don't look there. Let's continue. That is why Jesus paid for and removed all our sins. The goal of grace is intimacy with the Spirit. The goal of grace is intimacy with God. Why? Because God is a jealous God. God wants you all to himself. He wants all your attention, all your seconds, all your days, all your months, all your weeks, all your lifetime for himself in intimacy. That is why he paid for all. He paid for all your sins and removed all your sins so that you can have intimacy constantly. That's the reason. Do you understand it now? That is why. You see, it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Have you read 2 Corinthians 13, 14 before? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Have you seen it? Now, it's actually, this verse is supposed to read this way. The love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Because the love precedes the grace. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is the lover. God the Father is filled with love. And his love is what gives us grace. Jesus Christ. It starts from God the Father, who is full of love. We just read it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Look at 1 John 4:10. For herein is love. Not that we love God. Show it to us. Herein is love. Not that we love God. But that he loved us. And what did he do when he loved us? He sent his son. He sent his son to be the payment of sin for us. So love, the love of the Father gives us grace. You get it? That's what love does. Love gives. For God so loved that he gave. What did he give us? He gave us his son. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. For God commended his love. This is how God shows his love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Come and look at it in the NLT. NLT. But God commended his love. But God showed his great love for us. How? How did he show his great love for us? By sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So Christ died for sinners. Have you seen it? God loves so much, he gives. What did he give? He gave his son. Who is the son? Grace. What does grace do? Grace does everything possible to bring us into union back with the Father. So the grace leads us into the fellowship. The reason for grace is for fellowship. The love goes to grace. The grace goes to fellowship with the Spirit. So the reason for grace, the goal of grace, is fellowship with the Spirit. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So whenever you hear a message about grace, always remember fellowship. The reason for what they are telling you is because of intimacy with God. It's because of it. God didn't remove your sins so that you can keep sinning. Tomorrow's own has been paid for. I go do them. If you say that, you only say that because you don't know the aim of grace. The aim of grace is fellowship. And the aim of fellowship with the Spirit is to bring you back, to let you know about the love of the Father. And let you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful chain reaction. Circle that goes. The Father loves, gives grace. Grace comes, gives you benefits that brings you into fellowship with the Spirit. And the Spirit brings you knowledge of the Father and brings you knowledge of the Son. And that's what I'm preaching about, actually. So I'm just doing grace now. I didn't even start from love. I started from grace. Because if I start from love, we'll not close. Hallelujah. Can you give Jesus a big shout if you have a voice? So what is the goal of grace? Fellowship. Fellowship with the Spirit. The Spirit is the aim of God. Why? Because in the Spirit, you see, Jesus is God with us. Emmanuel. Jesus could not be in man. He was God with us. Emmanuel. But the Holy Spirit is God in us. For what purpose? For the purpose of enjoying God all the days of our lives. Listen, you think sin is nice. You don't know how good and nice God is. That is why you think sin is nice. No, you've not. I pray that God opens your eyes. Honestly, you will never know until the Holy Ghost opens your eyes. That's his ministry. His ministry is to open your eyes to see how good God is and how sweet God is, how loved you are.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless.